From Hollywood, California, we bring you a new Dr. Christian prize play called Antiques, starring Gene Herschel and presented for your enjoyment by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Camouflage is a great thing in its place, but men, why camouflage the good looks of your hair? That's what you do if you douse your hair when you comb it. Dousing destroys its natural look. It plasters down your hair and leaves it flattened out, disguised like a rooftop. Later on, when your hair dries out, it becomes wild and messy again, camouflaged like a haystack. Now, to avoid this trouble and keep your hair really good-looking, turn to Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic cuts out the need for dousing. All you do is shake a few drops on your comb and run it through your hair, or apply a little directly to the scalp. Just a couple of drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic is all it takes. But what a swell difference. Your hair has an attractive, natural look, a live look that snaps up your whole appearance, whether you're in uniform or civilian clothes. Not only is your hair neatly groomed, but it stays put from morning till night. Fighting men and working men alike appreciate the fact that Vaseline Hair Tonic keeps the hair well-groomed a whole lot longer. You don't have to comb it so often, because Vaseline Hair Tonic doesn't dry out your hair. It can't, for it contains absolutely no drying ingredient. What it does is supplement the natural scalp oils, gives double care, both scalp and hair. Start using Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly. Get a bottle tonight, only 40 or 70 cents. Remember, your hair looks best when it looks natural, and it looks its natural best when you groom with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Tonight's prize play, Antiques, is the work of Carolyn Van Buren, author of many juvenile stories, including the volume Five Little Martins and the Martin House. She was born in historic old Wilmington and has lived there all her life. Her story, Antiques, reflects the atmosphere of a romantic age in American life. The chief characters in the play are Miss Jane Proctor, played by Nancy Evans, and Miss Libby Proctor, played by Regina Wallace. They are traditional old-school Southern ladies. Joseph Jackson, their old family retainer, is played by Horace Willard. Mrs. Dawson, played by Ann Stone, is the wife of an Army officer. Her son, Tom, is played by Paul Hilton, and her daughter is played by Rhoda Williams. Lurene Tuttle plays Judy Price, as usual, and our star, Gene Herschel, appears in the role of the popular Dr. Christian. The opening scene is laid in Dr. Christian's office, and so the curtain rises.
Oh, good morning, Miss Libby. Have a seat, please. The doctor will see you presently.
But I'm in a hurry.
So are the other people here. Some of them have waited a long while.
The doctor knows I don't like to be kept waiting. Besides, my case is urgent.
Very well, I'll come in with you.
Oh, well, what do you know about that?
Oh, Judy. What makes you so impatient?
The office is filled with patients, Dr. Christian, and in walks Miss Libby Parker, demanding to see you at once.
Miss Libby never did like to wait.
Oh, she's upstage. A postal too, in those ridiculous old-fashioned dresses she wears.
There's a pretty stout old heart under the upholstery, Judy.
Heart? She didn't act as though she had a heart when we asked her to help us put over our Red Cross drive.
Oh, I don't imagine Miss Libby is too flush with money.
But it wasn't money we were asking for. We only wanted permission to allow visitors to see her things. The Proctor Mansion is full of gorgeous things collected for generations. Our idea was for her to open the house to the public for just one day. The price of admission to go to the Red Cross.
And she refused?
Absolutely, definitely, and finally.
Oh, maybe she was afraid it would upset Miss Jane. Miss Jane's been in bed 6 years this spring. 6 years is a long time to lie in bed with a broken hip.
But that couldn't have been the reason. We weren't going to let anyone go upstairs. It was just the lower floor we were asking for.
Well, she probably had a good reason. Anyway, you'd better let Libby in. It may be urgent. Here, you can go out this side door, Miss Libby. My regards to Miss Jane. Glad to hear she's doing so nicely. Goodbye.
Well, wasn't Miss Jane she was so anxious to see you about?
Judy, it was a cat.
A cat? All that commotion about a cat?
Oh, not her cat, Judy. Just a cat. Anybody's cat. Poor thing was on no one near her driveway. and to get something to put it out of its misery. Something that would put it quietly to sleep without pain.
He done died easy, Miss Libby. His cat done flopped over on his side and died just like that. I guess he's mighty sorry, Miss Libby.
Well, Joseph, poor creature's out of its misery. Sometimes far better to die than to keep on living. Did you carry the coal upstairs?
Oh, yes.
And you didn't say anything to Miss Dean about the cat, did you?
Oh, no.
You were careful not to?
Yes, I was careful. I didn't say nary word. Oh, Miss Libby, you all got to get some more coal if you expect to keep Miss Jane's room warm. He ain't like you. He likes a big old fire all the time.
Did you take the cup to the lady, Joseph?
Yes, I sure did, Miss Libby. She likes it fine. Take you one, I'll bring her another one. You know, it's a funny thing she likes old cup with a crack in it. She give me money, Miss Libby, just like she said.
Hello. This is Dr. Christian speaking. Yes? An accident. Well, what happened? I see. Yes, I'll come as soon as I can, but it's a 20-mile drive to Brooktown. Very well. Just keep the patient quiet till I arrive. Yes, I think I can remember the address. Yes. Goodbye. Well, Judy, I'm going to need your help, see?
Well, what is it?
Mrs. Green in Burktown. She had a fall from a stepladder. That was her husband calling. He thinks her arm is broken.
Oh, it's ages since I've been to Burktown.
Tell me, it's quite a place these days.
Yes, so I will. Locating that big army camp near there has brought a boom.
Well, get my bag, Judy, and we'll be on our way.
Huh? No, Libby, Martha is not the crook she once was. Really, isn't she? She's getting old. Oh, this fire feels colder.
So it does.
I suppose if one must be dead, Libby, one must be thankful for this lovely, spacious room. Full of all the practice things you like best, Jane.
You do indulge me, Libby. There was no reason to bring the best things up here. I hope you haven't robbed the drawing room.
The pieces you have here in your own room, they'll never be missed downstairs, then.
Dad, don't be that to Martha, Libby. She certainly is slipping badly. Well, you take my lunch today. The potatoes were lumpy and the chopper underdone, and this is the third time this week she's forgotten to put butter on the tray.
Sheila, I think her eyesight is failing.
Nonsense. Martha is just careless. And I don't approve of you always bringing up my tray while the housemaid's idle below stairs.
But I like doing it, Jane. It pleases me to do for you.
But it is interesting for a proctor, Libby. You must try being more firm with the servants. You really must.
Yes, I will. I'll see that you have a very lovely tea to make up to your lunch. A very special tea, Jane.
And you will speak to Martha about the butter.
Indeed, I will. Everything will be just as you like.
Let me see now. It must be in this block.
My, how this town has grown. This is the 1000 block.
And there's the number, Judy. 1011. Look, it has a sign on it. Tourists, I expect.
No, not this sign. The sign says, Antique. We'll have a look-see on our way out, can't we?
Oh, you women, you're all alike. Show you an antique sign and you're all a twitter.
Are you the doctor?
I am indeed. And are you Mrs. Green's children? Will you tell her, please, that it's Dr. Christian?
We aren't his children, but we'll tell her. She'll be mighty glad to see you. She says doctors always take their sweet time coming.
Oh, don't mind the children, Doctor. Come right in, please. I'm the young lady.
How do you do?
Mrs. Green is upstairs. I'll take you up. I'm Mrs. Dawson. We board here, me and my two children. We're proud it's something dreadful, but it's the best you can do with things as they are.
Well, it seems to be good enough to see that my patient gets his cap at the bedtime, Mrs. Dalton. I think I can guarantee a good night for her. Fairly good one, anyway. Mr. Green isn't there in sick business, is he?
Yes. And people come poking in here at all hours, day and night, to see those old things of his.
Do you assist him in his shop?
Oh, no. We just have rooms here because, well, there's simply no other place to live. But antiquing is not such a bad business as that.
Really?
You should just hear the price that Mr. Green gets for some of this old stuff. Only last night I said to Joe, so is my husband, he's stationed at the camp here. I said, after the duration, you and I better take up the business of antiquing.
Oh, could you see the things? You don't mind waiting a few minutes, do you, Dr. Christian?
Oh, go right ahead, Judy. Mrs. Dalton will keep you company until you're through, I'm sure.
Oh, indeed I will, Doctor. I'd like nothing better. I get awfully lonesome with the children at school, and Mrs. Green far too busy to sit down and chat. My husband's expecting to be sent away any day now, and I don't fancy staying on here after he's gone. You don't happen to know of a place over where you come from, where we could board? Some place where we could spread out so the children would have room to move around a bit?
I don't believe I do, Mrs. Dalton, not right now, but I'll inquire, and if I do, I'll let you know by telephone or the next visit I'd make, Mrs. Green.
Dr. Christian, you come here and have a look at all these lovely things you're making.
All right, Judy, but antiques aren't in my line, you know. I never took very much stock in them.
Oh, you'll change your mind when you see these. This is a perfectly gorgeous old silver teapot. This quaint little grill or a lamp. And when you look at that lovely duck and five table.
Judy.
Well, what is it? What are you saying?
It's this, Judy. In all my life, I've seen only one other that could compare with it.
So you are interested in antiques, after all.
I'm interested in this antique. Where did it come from, Mrs. Dalton? Do you know?
Well, that desk came since I lived here. Mr. Green said he'd been after it for a long time, but the old lady who owned it wouldn't part with it. Then he came home one night and said that she consented to part with it at last. He said she was going away pretty soon and wouldn't be back. He said he'd gotten the lunch things from her from time to time, and this was about the last thing she had left.
The old lady said she was going away and wouldn't be back. She said that?
That's what she told him.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Dalton. I just remembered I have an important visit to make. Come, Judy.
All right, Doctor.
Good evening, Mrs. Dalton.
Goodbye, Mrs. Dalton. Thank you for letting us see the thing.
Goodbye.
What was it, Doctor? What happened?
Judy, I made a discovery.
What's that? It was something about that bit?
Yes. You drive, Judy. I've got a lot on my mind. The last time I saw that desk, it was in Colonel Proctor's study. It belonged to his father and his father's father before him. It was his most cherished possession.
Is it possible it's the same desk?
I know it is. Miss Libby must be down to her last dollar to part with her father's desk.
Oh, Dr. Christian, do you think so?
I do indeed. Come on, let's hurry, Judy. Tires or no tires, we must hurry.
But why?
Libby told the man that he purchased the desk that she was going away soon.
I guess I'm dumb because I still don't get it.
Remember, Judy, what Miss Libby came into the office for the other morning?
Why, it was something about a telephone, wasn't it? She wanted something with which to put an injured cat out of his... Dr. Christian.
Yes, Judy, I'm afraid.
Oh, Doctor, no. She couldn't be that desperate.
No, in the Proctor Pride, I'm sure she is that desperate. And I'm afraid. Horribly afraid.
I must see that the toast is good and hot. Maybe she'll forget about the butter if I spread the jam on quickly. I'll use Grandma's sugar dish, the last bit of service. He ain't always like that. So I kept it back when I let the rest go. Everything's gone now. The king doesn't know, and she'll never know it's her fault. I managed to keep her from knowing. Pretending that all there is a need to be before she was ill. Pretending is a weary job. Sometimes I thought I just couldn't keep it up, day after day. But I did. We will go to sleep, the two of us together, without knowing. It's taken to sin what I'm doing. I thought it all out. I've seen the best way. The only way. Now, everything is ready. Take the case upstairs.
Ricky, there you are carrying that heavy tray after all I've said to you. Let the servants do it.
No, it's not too heavy.
You're just being stubborn. Our great-grandmother Proctor was an exceedingly stubborn person, I've heard, and you must take after her.
Yes, I guess I do. I certainly do hate to give up, and I won't in the last moment. But after today, you won't have to worry about my being stubborn or anything, then. See what a nice tea I've brought you, my dear. We'll have tea together, you and I, here before the fire. It'll be rather like a party, won't it? And we did love parties when we were young, didn't we, Jane?
Oh, that seems a long, long time ago.
Do you ever think, Jane, of a time when you can walk again? Walking in a beautiful garden, where the grass is always green, and the flowers
are... What got me, you Libby, running on like that? You know very well I'll never walk again. Hear you talk, one and think you're about to die.
There are things worse than dying, then. Far worse.
How queer you talk. And come to think of it, you've been acting mighty queer for the last week. Mighty queer indeed.
How do you mean?
Well, why on earth, may I ask, do we have the best linen napkins with a monogram on them just for you and me?
Why not? Who else is between Jordan?
Libby Proctor, you're acting most peculiar. Here I am dying for a cup of tea, and you picked up that teapot and set it down again 3 times. Then you couldn't make up your mind whether they're poor or not. Listen, I hear nothing. There's someone at the front door. You expect me company, Libby? Is that why you're waiting?
I don't hear anything, Libby.
But I hear footsteps.
There's often creak in this old house. Sometimes in my life. Listen to me. Seems as though it's the footsteps of all who once lived here, throughout the years. Returning for a brief moment to the rooms they once occupied. Seems to me I can hear them whispering. They are the stars.
Oh. Come. Come, my dear. Let's drink our tea together. I'm ready to pour it now and then. Then we'll rest a while.
Jane and Libby, the Proctor girl.
Libby, there is someone there. Then open the door. Come in.
Well, well. Yeah, I take time off from a busy day to look in on the patient. And what do I find? My patient looking as white as rain and myself an uninvited guest at a tea party.
Come in, doctor. Come in. Libby, pull up a chair for the doctor.
No, no, Miss Libby. I'll pull up my own chair.
You see, Libby, it's white footsteps.
The door was not locked, so I took the liberty of coming right up to Miss Jane's room.
I'm glad you did. It's nice to have company.
I wonder if I might have a cup of tea now that I'm here, Libby.
Oh, of course, doctor. I make you fresh company. And one for Jane, too. He is cold. It's nice to see you, doctor. I get very lonely lying here day after day with Libby busy over household matters and no one to say a single word to. The hours seem ages long.
I'm sure they must, Miss Jane. I'm sure they must. And that reminds me of what I came to ask you. I wonder if you and Miss Libby could find it in your heart to take a boarder. Three to be exact. A young woman and a few children.
Children? I don't know if we could have children here.
Well, this young woman is the wife of an army officer, and she and her children are trying to get along as best they can without him.
But why should they want to come here?
Well, the place in which they're living at present is much too small. They're badly crowded. The children need grounds in which to play. Big rooms to stretch and grow in.
We've never taken a paying guest. Still, I don't mind telling you I could do with a little more life in this house. Say, Libby, you've hardly opened your mouth since the doctor came in.
I was just thinking.
It would be a fine thing for you both. No more dull hours, and besides, you'd be doing your part. A very important part, too. and every true American has a part to do.
You're right, Doctor, you're right. A proctor has never shirked a duty yet, and my sister and I won't be the first to be so.
Well spoken, Miss Jane. I was pretty certain I could count on you. So you'll take the soldier's little family in and give him a home while he's away fighting for his country.
Indeed, we will, don't you, Libby? Libby, why do you just sit there staring at Dr. Christian as though you'd never seen him before? Now that you're here, Doctor, I want you to have a look at Libby. She hasn't been like herself at all today. I'm afraid she's sick.
Miss Libby sick? Now, Miss Libby. That'll never do. Let's have a look at
her. No, I'm perfectly all right, Doctor.
Oh, I see you have here that little box of pills I gave you the other morning.
Doctor, I...
Well, Miss Libby, you won't need them now. I'll just drop them in the fire because I'm sending you something much, much better.
You do agree with the plan, don't you, Libby?
Certainly she does. Miss Libby has joined the army behind the army. Isn't that right, Miss Libby?
Yes, Doctor. I'm glad to do my part.
Good. You make me very happy, Miss Jane and Miss Libby. Just how happy, I can't begin to tell you. I'm glad I dropped in when I did for your little tea party.
I'm glad too, Dr. Christian. I guess you know just how glad.
Yes, Miss Libby. But everything will be all right now. Because I'm going to send you youth and life and laughter.
Curtain comes down on another prize Dr. Christian play. Our star, Gene Herschel, will be back in a moment with news about next week's program. No matter how busy you are these days, there's no point in neglecting your hair. It's so simple and easy to guard the good looks of your hair with Vaseline Hair Tonic. If you notice even one of the signs of dry scalp, loose dandruff, tight, itchy scalp, brittle, lifeless, unmanageable hair, get Vaseline Hair Tonic at once. Vaseline Hair Tonic is most effective because it actually supplements the natural scalp oils needed to keep the hair good-looking and healthy-looking. Unlike most preparations, it contains absolutely no drying ingredients. Here's the treatment, equally important for men and women. Before washing your hair, give the scalp a good brisk massage with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. This peps up the circulation, loosens dandruff scales, and puts a stop to that dry, itchy feeling. Between shampoos, use Vaseline Hair Tonic for good grooming. It keeps your hair naturally good-looking. For hair that looks good and a scalp that feels good, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly. Now, here is Gene Herschel, the popular Dr. Christian of this series. Who's the prize winner next week, Dr. Christian?
Next week, we present a play especially written for this program by John Lee Goldberg, winner of the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1942. The play is called We Hold These Truths, and I extend a special invitation to you all to hear it because it is a stimulating and worthwhile play. So until next Wednesday evening at the same hour, I'll say good night.
Don't let a stuffy head cold spoil your holiday. To ease the discomfort, try this simple, effective relief. Place a little Vaseline jelly in each nostril. Vaseline jelly lubricates nasal tissues, relieves that stuffy feeling. You breathe more easily, feel better. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. Only 10 cents. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.